Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Dum bum. There's the controversial statement right there. Crushing snake's head, I'm fine with that, but that he shall rule over you, here we go. All right, I just know it's out there. Don't write me emails. I didn't write the Bible. Take it up with God. But this is very very politically incorrect stuff here. We don't like to hear this in our... I could tell, I mean, you know, when you heard it, then you just went, ring, is a little alarm went off. Oh, Ray's going to be in trouble now. This kind of talk really aggravates feminist thinking. And we've got a lot of feminist thinking in the world today, which is basically proof. The feminist thinking is basically proof of that hostile enmity between Satan and mankind. Or else it wouldn't be there, right? That God's people would get so angry over what God pronounced here that God said he's going to rule over you, and people get so mad, proves there's enmity still going on. Okay, guys, in this church, I think you know where I stand on this, but just to remind, I'm going to preach God's word the way God spoke it. And I'm not going to shy away from these subjects just because it's not popular today or because people are going to get mad at me. I have already gotten phone calls over this kind of stuff. I've already gotten emails. I've had people march in here angry over things I said. I didn't write it. This is God's word. And I have to preach it the way God spoke it. He said, the husband rules over the wife. Okay. Now, I hate to even go into this subject, but the scripture requires me to say it. And it saddens me when I see controversy in marriages and lots of fighting because today's world tries to push the wife to take over the husband's leadership role. The world pushes women to overstep their bounds. That's what Eve did wrong. Often when I see a couple fighting, I discover that the wife mistakes God's order that she must be inferior. That God said he rules over you, they automatically think, well, that means I'm nothing. It doesn't mean you're nothing. We exaggerate everything we hear so quickly. We make these drawn-out conclusions that come, where does it come? It comes from our imagination. It doesn't mean you're inferior at all. I find it amazing how people can fight like cats and dogs within a marriage and somehow not notice that this is enmity. This is enmity. We got to understand this curse that God said. It's going to be, you're either on the snake side or you're on God's side. There's going to be enmity between the two. So when you're fighting in a marriage, is that godly? It's not godly. Sure, you're going to have differences, work them out, but the fighting and the clawing and the anger and the raised blood pressure, that's enmity. And this is where it all comes from, what we're reading here. God himself said in verse 16, he shall rule over you. For those who say, I'm a Christian, but that man is not going to, I'm telling you what God said, he shall rule over you. Today's culture is trying to tell you that the man is stupid, that males are dumb, toxic masculinity, you shouldn't be a man, turn that John Wayne movie off, we don't act like that anymore. They don't like it. And you ever notice in TV shows and commercials, when they show a couple, they always make the man out to be the idiot. The man's the stupid one. Sitcoms, don't get me started. The man's the dummy. And because he's so dumb, the woman should take over. And there she goes, overstepping her bounds. Now, I've got more to say about the men, so y'all just hang with me, okay? I'm not beating up on women today. I'm just taking it as it comes, all right? So the Bible even says something. Now, here, ooh, buddy, just hang with me. We're reading together, right? We are going to show the next verse up there on the screen, right? Okay, y'all got your Bibles. Be in it. I just getting the pressure off of me. 1 Peter 3 and 1 says, "Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives." Ladies, this is a wonderful opportunity. You got a husband that's a knucklehead out there? This is your opportunity to draw him into being saved by your submission. It's not, "Oh, he's better than me, I'm not going to take that." No, this is your opportunity. God is saying, look, ladies, I know how a man thinks. And if you submit to him, you're going to get through to him like you don't even know. Draw him to the Lord Jesus. Okay, so here's one I often hear. "Well, he's the unbeliever, not me. I'm the one that's Christian. He's the one messing up, not me." The reason why God says this to submit, the reason why God has said this is that he shall rule over you, because that's God's order. God's order is always better than the way we think. Okay, to whoever this makes angry, and I know somebody out there it does, I would suggest that you probably may have some of that serpent enmity in you if this riles you up. Don't let this be in you. You need to get that enmity out of your life. It's not comfortable saying all this that I'm saying, but I'll tell you, it's a lot less comfortable when hostile marriages march into my office because they're not obeying God's word in the first place. I've had marriages come in, couples come in angry, and she's ready to strike him down, the moron that he is, and then he's mad because he got spineless. It does happen. Men get spineless. Well, I'd do anything than fight with her, anything to shut her up, and she would do anything to shut him down, and then there's your enmity going on. I would rather state what's in God's word now and let y'all chew on it than wait for it to come in my office barking and screaming and hollering for me to have to deal with there. Guys, I'm just trying to be as blunt, truth, honest as I can with God's word, okay? To anybody here in a struggle maritally, you have my deepest sympathy, and I'm here to help you. But I got to state God's word as it is said, okay? But in this story, the women now, we need to notice that from Genesis 3, women would now bear children in pain and would be mastered by her husband, who she would desire. God said, "He will be your desire." In this story, Eve's desire shifted. Did y'all catch that? Her desire was not for her husband. Her desire was to be able to see, to be able to be like God. Her desire shifted from her husband, and now she was going to prompt Adam to sin. Anna was talking about this a minute ago, about Satan will get to the men through the wives. Guys, be careful. Be careful of that. And since she overstepped her bounds in this, God said that she would now be ruled by her husband, okay? Ladies, I want to say this with as much love and as much humility as I possibly can, because I know there are strained marriages out there, and I also know that there's a lot of people who are just going to choose to not listen to what I'm saying because they just don't like hearing this. But I'm going to teach God's word as it is stated. So let me say this very carefully. If you catch the desire to overstep your bounds, over into your husband's role, you are listening to sin, you are falling for the same deception that Eve did, you are operating outside of God's order, and you will cause enmity, intense hostility within your marriage. Beware of this. It is a slick trick. Satan makes it look like it's the right thing to do. He's an idiot. You need to take over. Well, here we go. And there you go. He makes it look right. He masquerades. He disguises. But he lies. Don't fall for this. Don't overstep your bounds. If there is friction in your marriage, then at least on your part, be submissive to him and let all the blame fall on him for it. Don't become part of the blame yourself. Let him take it all. Don't allow yourself to be the cause of trouble yourself. Now, this is very uncomfortable information, but I'd rather deal it out at the pulpit for you to chew on it than to not say it. I'd rather say it now than wait for somebody to come flying into my office with two angry couples that can't get along. God intended for marriage to be fun. Thank you from the wife. She said, yes, intended it to be fun, not a continually heated war. If you're in a continually heated war of a marriage, the best thing to do is to take your role. Husband, if you're not leading, let me say something to the men. Grow a spine. If the woman has to submit, then the man needs to lead. Grow a spine. Do what needs to be done godly. Lead her. We are to lead. Well, she doesn't want me to lead. Well, there's your problem. She doesn't want you to lead because you won't. Start leading. Pray it first. Consult God's word. Get in godly order. She will follow that, especially if you're a believer. She'll follow it. God's order is best, and God has it all lined out for us in his word. It's best for us to follow it. So then now God had plenty to say to the man now in Genesis 3 and 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Okay, Eve had to bear pain in her work, and now God said, Adam, you're going to bear pain in your work too. You're going to have to scratch your living out of the land now. It's not going to be the paradise it was. Now you have to pull it out of the ground. Guys, it's a real pain going to work every day, isn't it? Gals too, I understand. I know that. But it's real. It drains your energy. It takes a toll on. Now, I remember the days working at the chemical plants. I'd come home after being in the hot summer Texas sun all day. I could barely move. I could barely have the energy to eat, shower, and fall into bed before the sun even went down. And that was during my 20s. I had some heavy days back then. I worked down at the plant. God said, man shall eat by man's toil. Toil means hard, difficult work. You go to work, I'm tired, ugh. Okay, this is biblical. This is because we're sinners, right? This is our reminder. Snakes are reminders. Childbirth pains are reminders. Going to work and getting beat up all day, that's a reminder. It wasn't the same anymore as it was for them. It wasn't the same blessed, easy ground that man had before. Now there's thorns and thistles to deal with. Thorns and thistles, they can cut, they can hurt, they can make it hard to rake and manage the vegetation. They get caught in your clothes. Makes it hard to do things. This is cursed ground. This is the word for toil. This word here, toil, that he used is the same word used in verse 16 for the woman's pain. Toil. And if that wasn't bad enough, death would be man's end. It's bad enough you got to go to work. Now you're going to die. That wasn't in the works before for man, but now you're going to have to die. God said you're made of dust and you're going to go back to the ground as dust again. Friends, God has to judge sin, and he has to judge sin heavily. He can't be nice about it. It's sin. It messes things up. He's got to judge it heavy. Now, man may often try to be like God, thinking that he can command his own destiny. I'll steer my way through this world because I'm a man, and I've been doing my job for a long time. I know what I'm doing. But guys, you can't make this world go the way you want it to. You can't make life go the way you want it to, because we are dust. We're not God. We're dust. Genesis 3 and 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Okay, you're out of here. You blew it. You messed up. And I want you to see how the Lord God said he became like one of us. You can see a plural. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all talking in agreement right there. you can see God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ all having a conversation, right? So man has been expelled from paradise, the paradise he once had in the Garden of Eden, and these cherubim that were placed in the way, those were angelic beings that guarded the way in. It's like trying to get into one of those bars where the bouncers are standing at the door. They're not going to let you in there, and they're tough. These were bouncer angels, okay? The cherubim that were standing in the garden the way in, and they had a sword that swung around. It was swinging around back and forth, that if you tried to go through it and go back in there, you'd probably get cut into pieces. You'd get struck down. Adam needed to understand that something had been lost due to sin. A separation. Now there was death has now been made. And it looks terrible. But something significant happened here. Something really big happened here. I want you to see the faith that Adam had been given. I never caught this before until I recently did this study. There's some faith now set in. Adam named his wife Eve. That is hugely significant. Eve means living. It also means before the living. So by naming her Eve, Adam acted by faith as he looked forward to having a future family. You see that? Oh, Adam's got some plans. I want to have kids and I want to have a family. We're going to continue. I got to work now. It's not what it was, but he sees a future. Apparently, God communicated to Adam that he would still be blessed with a family, probably when he gave him the coverings of an animal skin. He says, look, here's a covering, but there's things coming for you. Now, we're also going to see Eve's faith when she would name her first son Cain, because she would say he was from the Lord. So now they're operating by faith. Now they got faith coming into this. Oh, we got kicked out of the garden. We're going to die. You know what? I'm going to name you Eve because we got family coming. Isn't that great? Oh, this is good. Now, because I'm in this now. Faith, I'm a sinner, I'm messed up. I got death ahead of me. But you know what? God's still got blessing ahead of us. It's not like he stopped loving us, okay, just because we're sinners. He still loves us. And this is the wonderful thing about our God, that even though man is wickedly sinful and deserving of banishment and deserving of death, that God would still give a covering to anyone who has faith. He gave a covering to those who have faith. This animal covering is now going to set the pattern that we're going to see throughout all of Israel's history, that animal sacrifices would be used to cover the curse of sin. A life for a life, and yet the sinner will live if he places his faith in the Lord God. Now, the animal skin that was Adam and Eve's covering, to get that animal skin covering, this means that another life had to die. Another life had to die to cover them. We have a covering. Another life died for us. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's our covering. We don't deserve his life for ours. We don't deserve that. We're the sinner, not him. But God loves us. That's something I want you to take from here, if anything, is that God loves you. You know, there's a lot of people I've talked to that I've known for a long time that have called themselves Christians for years that didn't know that God cared about them, that God loves them. And one day I've had a friend come to work. He goes, I just realized God cares about me today. And I thought, whoa, I'm glad you got it. But what took you so long? Friends, God cares. He loves us. And that's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross to be our covering so that we could be saved from our sin. But that enmity is still out there. Satan disguised himself as a serpent, and he still disguises himself today. He wants to make things look really, really good to draw you in to mess you up. I want to show you a big disguise that's out there in our culture today. And here it comes. This is probably going to be the heaviest thing, the biggest truth bomb I drop in the room today. And this is rough. And I need you to reckon with God's word on this, okay? We already understood God's order. I want you to observe this from God's word. 1 Timothy 2:12 says, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Guys, there's a huge controversy out there today called women pastors. This is the same violation, a direct violation of the order that God set right after Adam and Eve's fall, because Eve overstepped her bounds. When Eve overstepped her bounds, God had to establish this order. And yes, this topic makes people mad. And I'm sure somebody's going to get mad at me for saying this, but that would be the serpent's enmity again, set against God's people. Don't fall for the serpent's lies. There's a local Christian leadership organization around town, around here, and they get together and do supposedly good things, but I've looked in the email that they send, in the list of emails, there's a lot of women's names in there, and I've gone to look them up, and a whole bunch of them were female pastors. They have a lot of female pastors in the membership of this little group. They've tried to get me to join their group, asking if I would go do the things with them. They do things in the good things they in the community. But guys, again, that's how Satan tempts us to get into sin, by using a little snippet of truth up front, and then he throws his spin on it. Now, I got to asking questions about this group and this organization. Their mandate is that the word of God must be followed to the letter. Yet they have female pastors in the group. And I have awkwardly had to ask, well, if that's one of your mandates, why do you have female pastors in the group? And you know what they do? Well, we're not going to be, you know, we don't want to be dismissive, or, you know, we believe in equality and we don't want to be prejudiced. And they invent all these little spineless things that men should not do. These women overstepping their bounds. Don't overstep your bounds like you think you know better than God does. Be careful the way they dress things up. And they tell me, well, Ray, you don't want to go do the things we do. We go pray at flagpoles at the school. We do this stuff with food for people. Oh, it looks great and wonderful, and that's wonderful. But you know what? You can't have female pastors in the group. I can't get into this. God's word says this is a problem. Guys, the fall of man came from this sort of stuff. Why am I going to get into an organization like that? The overstep is exactly what got Eve in trouble. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. What this is getting at is the first Adam came and messed everything up. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he's going to come fix everything all back up again. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of topic around Adam and Eve, is a lot of heavy stuff. And I know I said some things today that you're going to have to think about. I want you to realize I put the biblical passage to all of it. If you are a Christian, as you claim to be, as a believer, you have to reckon with God's word on this. I'm trying to help you with marriages. I'm trying to help you not be suckered into things that look good, which are actually out of God's order. Because if you get involved in that, overstepping your bounds and getting out of godly order, it's going to cause more enmity in your life that I know you don't need. God's word is best that we follow it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for